Good morning, I'm Chairman Brad Holton. Let's, we'll call the meeting to order. Present is Commissioner Brooks, Commissioner Van Beek. We have a 9:30 agenda item meeting with county attorneys for legal staff update and to consider action items. And so we're gonna take, we're kind of gonna be a little bit out of order. We'll take the first action item on the agenda, and then we will follow that by the second, or excuse me, the very bottom action item second, and then we'll take care of the rest of them in the order in which they come. Unless somebody comes up with a really good reason to amend even that, but that's the plan starting out of the gate. So with that, let's have Christina or the sheriffs come up and.
Thank you.
The agenda item is to consider extension to the declaration of local disaster emergency, so flood damage. And I'd rather not get into great specificity because we still don't have all the details in. But I've talked to Sheriff, I've talked to Christina. This is, this is wonderful that it happened just after we moved into the new building. And B, this is an opportunity for the county to come together mid-morning today and learn more of it, how we coordinate during a disaster. And thank the good Lord we have a new facility that we can actually all meet in. And I think that the mayors who are able to come this morning to that later meeting will be duly impressed with the resources that we now get to operate with. So with that, I'll hand it over to Sheriff, and we can go from there.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Board. I think that you're right on target. We don't have all the information. I think this morning, for us, more is, I'll turn it over to the mic over to Christine here in a few minutes to give a short update of what where we are, what the status is. But what we would be asking today is for the board to consider extending the emergency declaration for a 30-day declaration to allow Christine and others to gather the important data and an analysis of what has happened, what continues to be a problem or problems within our jurisdiction. And then that way, then that we, once that information is compiled, she'll have the opportunity to submit that to the IOEM, the state IOEM, to for further, hopefully some resources and assistance to the county. So that's really what we're here for today. And I couldn't agree with you more. Thank goodness we had just barely moved out of our area over there. There would have been some serious damage to several of our divisions, records included. So that was great, and we do have that opportunity with the new building. Again, much to your efforts that we'd have a place for to meet with the mayors this morning and others on a situation such as this. So I'll give it the mic over to Christine to do a brief update, and then we can turn back to you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Commissioners. So as the Sheriff stated, we're in the process of collecting information. We've put out some surveys for both public entities as well as individuals who are needing assistance due to various types of flood damage that they've incurred in their homes or residences or just on their property in general. And so we're still gathering that information, and we're working with different volunteer organizations to help those individuals. And we're also still trying to collect on the public side, because there's a lot of entities involved, and so trying to gather that information is kind of a little cumbersome just because there's so many different entities involved.
Okay. Chairman.
Yes.
And I just wanted to put on for the record that this event happened on Friday, June 25th, and on Saturday, June 26th, the emergency manager, in cooperation with the prosecuting attorney and the Board of County Commissioners, our public information officer, convened. The prosecuting attorney did draft a local disaster emergency declaration, and I was proud of our efforts in being timely. There was facilities on site on Friday night combing through there. I know Commissioner Brooks was down here assessing the damage. So the effort, unfortunately, when we have to invoke this, I'm happy, again, as the chairman has indicated, that we have a facility and that we are gaining knowledge on how to coordinate those efforts with local communities. So it wasn't, as the emergency manager indicated, just located in Canyon County. Saturday, I think you were out in Parma. There was continued damage the next day from the water issue. So all in all, I think this is a great effort on part of Canyon County's Emergency Operations Center leading the way. Pursuant to Canyon County's declaration, the city of Caldwell, in response to that, declared a local emergency as well. And so it's pretty widespread. We are in the agricultural community and continue to hear how hard the hail damage was on certain crops. So I don't know if you're getting that, but my suggestion would be, as this continues to make the news, that that information, just for your data analysis on how widespread that is, that they have your access to your contact information to report that damage. The last time we went out, I think it was in Wilder again, that got hit pretty hard. Some of those farmers were not insured on that. And that's difficult for our community. So I'm in favor of extending this, as the sheriff has indicated, for a 30-day period, and with the opportunity to reassess a redeclaration, or at least get an update at that time.
Okay. I am as well.
Okay. So being the number nerd I am, disasters never happen on a good business day of the week, and thus this happened on a Friday night. We declared on a Saturday morning. The 7 days ends up being today, but to extend it 30 puts us on a joint with our business that we normally conduct in the county. I guess my question to legal is, which I am sorry I didn't think about this till right now, is it would work better for us to go out to August 2nd, rather, and that's just over the 30 days. Are we good with that? Because the intent is to re-meet in a specified period of time.
Chairman, the statute only allows, only requires that if the chairman's acting without the consent of the board in the declaration, that it has to be limited to 7 days. After that, it's up to the board to decide the proper date. There's no specific time limit of 30 days or renewals, etc. And so,
okay,
if we want to do the second, that's fine. I did, in drafting the resolution, leave the date blank specifically so this board could vote on the resolution and select whatever day works best. We just don't tend to want indeterminate time frames, because you never know if anybody circles back to you in a year or something. We just have this declaration. So
I would respectfully submit that we'd take it to Tuesday, the 4th of August. That is normally our day to meet with legal, and it's just a natural flow of business for the county.
Yep. Chairman, I move that the board extends the local disaster emergency declaration as presented by legal, which was drafted again last week, to a date specified of August 4th, which is a Tuesday, for reevaluation at that time.
A second.
All right. Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All right.
Thank you.
We hope to see you over there later this morning. All right.
Thank you.
Okay, the next action item will be the bottom one on the agenda. Action item to consider request for reconsideration of revised FCOs for case number CU2025-0011-APL. Trent, do you have an opening? I know that you've worked on this, and the board requested that you give your review of that and some rewording. So,
correct, Chairman. So this is an application for a conditional use permit done by Knife River. They were wanting to put an additional gravel pit area just north of the city of Greenleaf. They do have another pit that's just to the west of it. And so part of their argument in appealing the board's decision on this was that there are multiple gravel pits in this area, and so it's a use that should be allowed. However, the board in reviewing it determined that there are significant differences with this property where Knife River does not own the homes that's on the property. There are no homes on the property that they're wanting to do this on, but immediately adjacent to this property is several residential homes, which is significantly different than the other property that Knife River recently had approved. And so in crafting these findings, that was, I think, the board's biggest issue, was that there are multiple residential homes immediately adjacent to the property. And that is, I think, the main finding. The second portion is the traffic pattern. And that was just quickly addressed, I think, in this revised finding of facts. And basically, I think what it came down to was the board was wanting to see a traffic impact study done prior to the application even being approved. That was said during the minutes. And so I just reiterated that for the board.
Okay.
Chairman.
Just a second. You incorrectly had the wrong directions. The application that we're talking about and the one referred to would be to the east.
Correct.
Okay. Just want somebody listen to the record and trying to figure out where that would be at would have gone the wrong direction.
Spoken like a true pilot. Yeah.
Hopefully he doesn't become lost, otherwise I wouldn't be here.
So. Yeah. No, I wanted to further reiterate that our Planning and Development Services Department has identified that with the gravel pits, it could use another look by the board at length of operation. Those are significant operations for mineral extraction that do impact the community. So I think that that's fair and reasonable. That predates any of this discussion that we've had on what this pit looks like. So I appreciate Deputy PA McRae's evaluation of this. I agree with it. I think that those reasons cited by the board in conjunction with the fact that those are areas that need to be reevaluated. If I were in banking, and I have been, to evaluate the concentration of a portfolio in an area to preserve either the what you're really trying to accomplish in land use development is prudent. So I'm in support.
Mr. Chairman, I feel it was very important that we put in there the differences between who owned the house, how many houses were around, how much the property would be surrounding a house that the appellant did not own. So I'm glad that's in there. So I'm okay. In support.
Okay. I think Trent, well done. Thank you for helping us enumerate that in the reconsideration. Any other discussion? I'd be looking for a motion then.
Chairman, I move that the board approves the revised FCOs for case number CU 2025-0011. It's an appeal case for Knife River Corporation as presented.
Second.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All righty. Thank you. All right. Next action item, let's go back up to the top. Consider monitoring and associated services agreement between Track Group and Canyon County Juvenile Probation Department. Good morning.
Good morning.
You want me to mark it?
Hi. Sorry.
No worries.
Thank you for entertaining me. I wanted to bring this contract before you guys for your approval so that we can directly contract with the agency that provides our electronic monitoring services.
Okay.
Right now, we're currently using a third party. That third party individual just hooks up the unit, and then we still do all the supervision. With that, we're currently being charged $25 per unit,
yeah,
hookup fee, and then $8 per day that the county pays directly. Going directly with the agency, the county would be paying $5 per day per unit, which would be a significant decrease of like 37%.
Wow.
That direct cost to the county. In addition, in support of the court, this new contract will allow us to charge the parents the $50 hookup fee with the $3 per day daily fee. The court is in support of that. They did ask for some discretion to be able to waive some of the fees on a case-by-case basis. So we would have an opportunity to recoup some of the costs to the county. And so my current budget proposal was $35,000 because we've already exceeded this year what we budgeted for electronic monitoring.
And we've never exceeded it, but the length of stay
per unit has been increased by about 80 days to from about 40. So there's been significant increase in cost to the county. So this would allow us to significantly decrease that while recouping some of the cost to the county.
Wow.
Chairman, I have a couple of questions.
Yes.
So my first question is on page 3 related to insurance. So the onus is on the county to provide general liability in the amount of $1 million. Have we checked with the Hartwell? Are we eliminating the middle person? I guess that's good to go.
I did not check with Hartwell. It was under my assumption that our policy already would cover that, but I can follow up with Hartwell.
Okay, that sounds great. And then Oscar or Jose, you have, I guess, the training and all the provider obligations in there. You'll get all of that included and have your team on board. And with that, I'm looking at the equipment and consumable schedule. How much of that schedule, given what you've put on there for the initial monitoring device, are we using any of those? Are we providing cell phones and things?
Currently we're only utilizing the GPS unit.
Okay.
And obviously the straps, charger, and the actual service itself.
Okay. All right. And that's, I guess, yeah. Chairman, I'm in favor. I appreciate any time somebody looks as this at a cost-saving measure. And there is, some need for the courts to work in tandem with a lot of need with Jose and his team when either waiving costs. It does cost county taxpayer dollars. You get some funding from other sources from the state, but I'm not sure what percentage of that pays. So thank you for working with the judges in that respect to help reduce the level of recidivism. That's the whole point of a lot of these programs, is to have the kids be able to reintegrate in a positive way back into the community. So thank you.
I would also add, this reduces some of our liability with our current provider. I worked in the juvenile system for a couple years. There were multiple times where our service provider was not immediately available to come do the hookup. And so juveniles would have to stay an extra 4 or 5, sometimes overnight, until the provider was able to come hook up kids. So this allows our probation officers to go and immediately do that. And so there's no delay period where we might be holding somebody longer than necessary.
Yeah.
So I think it reduces our liability for that as well.
Yeah, good feedback.
Overall, it's a really good program. I think if you're listening to the audio, you're going, why am I a taxpayer and having to pay for this? I'm going to use a term that's probably not totally appropriate, but it's the lesser of two evils. Way more expense to have them incarcerated in juvie than it is to have them on an ankle bracelet. So even if some of these are going to have to be picked up by the taxpayer to have the bracelet available to them instead of them paying their way, it's still better for the individual, as long as they follow the rules of being out with the bracelet compared to being incarcerated. But the next step is incarceration, and it's the next step up in expense to the taxpayer.
Yeah, and can I ask one more question for Jose? So you're working closely with IDOC on this. The whole goal is to keep them out of the state prison system, if I read this correctly.
For the ankle monitor?
Yeah. So to your point, Chairman, it's unfortunate that crime and evil exists in the world, but I know that Jose and his team the detention team are working to provide environments. And if the kids are returned, sometimes they're entering back into difficult situations, but to have a probation officer or a second chance for mistakes of youth is good for the community and good for the kid.
So, commend you, Jose, for looking for cost-saving measures and even in the cost-saving measures, even making things more efficient. It's a win-win. Thank you for your leadership, and thank you for bringing this forward, that we have the opportunity to do something good. So, any other comments, questions?
Nope.
All right, I'd entertain a motion then.
Chairman, I move that the board approves the monitoring and associated services agreement as presented with between Track Group and Canyon County Juvenile Probation Department as presented.
A second.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Yeah. All right. The next action item is consider acceptance of Idaho Department of Juvenile Corrections, the JCA.
Chairman, if we could just take up both of the next action items.
Both of them?
Since they're similar.
Okay. Cigarette, tobacco, tax pass-through funds recipient agreement for Canyon County. Will also, in the same time period, consider acceptance of the Idaho Department of Juvenile Corrections Community-Based Alternative Services and Substance Use Disorder Services pass-through funds recipient agreement for Canyon County. All right.
This is these two are just funding agreements that we received. The first one is from the JCA and cigarette tobacco tax funding. And so yearly we get this this projected amounts from the state for juvenile services, staffing, training, facilities, things like that. They did change when we get the payments from previous years to match the state's fiscal year.
Fiscal year. So,
yes. There is some discrepancy. Speaking to Mr. Wilma from this last payment that we received, we're trying to figure out where I don't know if I were wrong, probably wrong use of word, but what the discrepancy is, because they've agreed to the specific amounts for September, December, and March, and then the last payment would be based on what the state has left over.
Oh.
This last fiscal year, those numbers didn't match quite well, and we have to figure out what happened there. But we hope that we do get these amounts. It is $100,000 more than fiscal year of 2026. And so this money, again, is very beneficial to us. It helps us run our department. And then the other one is for the CBAS and substance use disorder. This funding is specifically for any drug and alcohol treatment-related services and any programs that we request for juveniles that are either high risk or they don't have Medicaid or any other funding sources. This doesn't come through us directly. We submit the invoices to the state, and the state pays the provider directly.
Chairman, I have a couple of questions.
Yes.
On the JCA and cigarette tobacco tax funding, in wading through here, it looks like, and you've already mentioned it, that we're going to get payments for the JCA and the cigarette in September. And then the total of those two, we're looking at approving a receipt of income of $253,800. Am I reading that correctly?
Yes.
Okay. And then historically, there's never been a problem with spending the amount of money that's been allocated for the programming. It does say that if you don't meet that you have to redistribute, but I don't think we've ever been in a situation where we've had that redistributed.
That's my understanding as well. We do a good job utilizing all these funds.
Okay, thank you. So that was just my question on the timing of those payments, and you'll figure out more with Kyle on, that was the other question I had that you've alluded to, if it was higher or lower than the projected revenue that we would receive. And then the allocation for the SUDS pass-through is $339,481 for the period of July 1st through June 30th of 26 to 27.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, so that obviously helps juvenile functions within Canyon County. We're thankful that those are passed on. The formulas are in there on how they derive that, but totally in favor of receiving both of these allocations from the state, Chairman.
All right. Any other discussion? Seeing that there's none, I'd entertain a motion.
Chairman, I move that the board approves the pass-through funds receipt agreement for the state SUDS program, which is a period of July 1st, 2026 through June 30th of 2027 in the amount of $339,481, and that we approve the pass-through funds receipt agreement for the quarter one, which will be September 26th for both the Juvenile Corrections Act and the cigarette tobacco tax. Respectively, it's $105,200 and $148,600 for a total of $253,800 as presented.
Okay.
A second.
Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously.
Mr. Chairman, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For your time. Okay, are there other issues for legal this morning in general?
You guys have a 10 o'clock meeting. We do need an executive session for today.
We can be late to the 10 o'clock, so.
Okay. Yeah. We're going to go into executive session under DNF.
Under DNF.
Chairman, I move that the board adjourns to executive session granted under Idaho Code 742061, subsection D, for records exempt from public disclosure, and F, to communicate with the board's legal counsel regarding pending or likely litigation.
All right. Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. What say you, Commissioner Van Beek?
Yes.
Mr. Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Holton is yes. Motion carries unanimously. Let's consider ourselves recessed into executive session.